Hello, everyone, and welcome to this lecture where we start exploring digital marketing tactics. And specifically, we will focus on the web design to start with. This is the positioning of the lecture to the course framework. So now we have covered the part one, strategic analysis and planning of digital marketing. And now we move on to the operational activities of digital marketing. And the framework we use is labeled as Emre's model, which comes from the these words, so measure, reach, act, convert, and engage. And the general idea of the Emre's model is that there are certain stages through which you need to implement your operational activities, and you need to make sure that you optimize all the activities related to these stages. So in the reach stage, you start by trying to attract customers. So you need to do this in multiple channels and ensure that your brand becomes known to the customers, and you need to give them a reason to visit your website or do business with you. So that's the reaching stage. In the act stage, the idea is that once you get people to your website, usually, then you start thinking about how to activate the customer interest. So, what kind of information or benefits or entertainment you can offer to make the customers interested in your company and its offering. At the convert stage, you try to convert all the potential customers into customers, so make them buy, in other words. Usually. And then at the last stage, engage. The idea is that one transaction is not enough. So you want to give the buyers reasons to visit your website again and buy more and share the story with friends and so on. So that's generally about the MRAs. And well, yeah, the measurement part is pretty much throughout the funnel as the figure depicts. So you need to continuously measure the performance of all of these different stages. One of the advantage of using the MRAs model is that we can have a discussion about all these different tactics and how they fit to different stages of the model. And as today we are going to talk about the web design, I would argue that it mainly affects the act, convert, and engage stages. You usually need other channels to reach customers, but then usually the idea is that you attract them to your website and then you can start doing your magic and start relationships with the customers. Okay, so why so much focus on the website? It might even sound a little bit boring topic in a sense. Websites have been out there for ages. However, it still remains the single most important digital marketing tool for most companies. For some others, it might be the mobile application, but generally, a website is considered the most important single channel. And one of the reasons why website is so important is that the company can control this medium space. So they can control what content is on their website. If you compare this to, let's say, search engines or social media that are pretty much controlled by the algorithms of the third parties. Now, why website is so important? Well, first of all, a credible website is the firm's business card. So you can think about this, for example, by thinking that when you hear a company name or somebody mentions you a new company, what do you often do? You go to the website to figure out what is this company and what is it offering. So it's a very crucial part of digital marketing. Websites and increasingly mobile applications are also the virtual equivalents of a physical business. So, like in brick and mortar stores, so physical stores, you can sell stuff. The same happens on websites and mobile applications. So, this is often also the store if you are selling something online. And when customers make purchasing decisions, when they are comparing alternatives, when they are, searching information or figuring out which store to buy, they usually end up on a website. So this again kind of highlights the importance of the website. So website is often considered the home base of digital marketing. And why we talk about websites as the first lecture regarding the tactics is that it really needs to be well designed before it makes sense to invest in reaching and attracting visitors. Otherwise, if you spend a lot of money for, let's say, advertising on other channels, and then you attract people to the website, you're losing all that money or big chunk of it if the website doesn't actually make the customers to buy. So that's why starting with the website. And I think I've shown this framework earlier in this course, but as a rehearsal, this is kind of the other way to put the MRACE model. So we have the web design or website in the middle of the figure. That is the home base, as mentioned. And then regarding reaching, you are trying to use different tactics to attract customers to your website. So that could include advertising in different channels, sometimes content marketing, and so on. And once you get people to your website, then you try to activate and convert them. So again, by activation, I mean that there must be a reason why the customer wants to spend time on your website and look for different types of content that you provide. And the idea is to persuade them to buy, which moves us to the convert stage where you really try to get the customers to actually buy something from you. Or then we can talk about the conversions today. So the conversion might, in some other context, mean something different. But you want to realize the goal of the website. There is always a purpose for having a website. And finally, once you have those customers, then you want to engage them. So you want to make them loyal. You want to them to come back and buy more, and you want them to share good experiences with other friends. And I put here mobile apps, although in some cases I guess mobile apps could be also in the middle, but quite rarely we download applications unless we are frequent buyers, especially if I'm thinking of, let's say, retailing mobile applications. We usually start the relationship from somewhere, and if we sort of perceive that we are buying frequently, then we want to download the mobile app. Email marketing newsletters, good ways to remind customers that we exist, or then maybe offer some promotions or other means to persuade customers to come back. And also, other types of digital services might support the engagement stage. And again, we try to measure all these things and see what are the most effective ways to reach customers, what are the most effective web designs that attract customers and convert them. And what are the best means to engage customers to come back? So the measurement is always present when we talk about digital marketing. Now, here are the actual learning goals after this short introduction. So after this lecture, a student should be able to analyze the key elements of a good website or web design. So basically, you should answer the question of what is a good website? What are the common elements that make a good website? And then explain the concept of conversion optimization. I start from the elements of a good website. First of all, findability. And this topic mainly relates to the search engine optimization that we're going to discuss later on. But SEO is a lot about the web design. So these two things come hand in hand. I would say web design, SEO, and content marketing, they are all tied because a lot of this content is on your website, and the content is what mostly determines your search engine optimization. So, for example, without going into details, you need to have the keywords that customers are using on search engines, because customers often go to the websites via search engines. So you need to offer the keywords that make your website rank well, and then whatever they search for, you are findable in search engines. The second issue is usability. So high technical performance, fast loading times, no broken links or other technical errors. So this is the first important thing to think about. It's kind of like the fundamentals of web design. So it must perform properly. You need to use these days responsive design, which means that the website aligns with whatever device customer is using, and it goes more than that, so or further than that. So it's about with whatever device, operating system, browser, and so on. So you need to make sure that the website actually functions properly with all of these different interfaces that customers might be using. These days, the biggest chunk of website traffic comes with mobile devices, so it's usually recommendable to create or design the website mobile first, because so many customers are actually using these mobile devices. But again, you need to ensure that you can use the website just as well with the laptop or computer or whatever device you're using. The next element here is clear structure and layout. So again, quite basic things. So when customers come to your website, they should sort of grasp the logic how your website functions. Where do I find and what? If I'm interested in products, is there a clear category or section on the website for products? Well, maybe someone else's use case is that he or she needs customer service. Where is the section for customer service? And so on. So you really need to think about all these use cases, all these purposes that customers have for visiting your website, and then create a logical design and layout so that those are easy to find. The alignment with website conventions refer to the idea that we are used to using websites in certain ways. We are used to finding certain elements at certain spaces of the website. So, for example, usually the shopping cart is on the top right corner, navigation pane is on the left, or even more commonly on the top. So if you place those things in different spots, customers won't find it because they are very used to these some sort of website conventions or standards, you could say. Ease of navigation, obviously, thinking about the navigation panes, is it easy to find all the content that you offer for the customers? Is it logical? And so on. And then finally, the functional on-site search. And this is particularly crucial for companies that are offering a large assortment of different products and services, so that you can easily find things via the search. Think of Amazon e-commerce store, for example. I don't know how many millions of products they have, but the search is crucial to identify the correct product category or specific product. It's actually also a very good way to learn what kind of products customers are looking for. So you can track what kind of products they are searching for, and then you probably get some ideas of how to expand your assortment, for example. Here's a good quote to highlight the importance of usability or user friendliness. So on the web, usability is a necessary condition for survival. If a website is difficult to use, people leave. If the homepage fails to clearly state what a company offers and what users can do on the site, people leave. If users get lost on a website, they leave. If a website's information is hard to read or doesn't answer the user's key questions, they leave. Know the pattern here. So usability is kind of like the baseline of a functioning or well-performing web design. The next issue, credibility and security. And these days, there are all kinds of websites, and many consumers are a little bit skeptical or at least worried that maybe this website is actually a scam. It's very easy now to produce websites with AI, and they can be, all kinds of players who might just take your money and don't deliver anything, for example. So credibility and security is important, and especially for those not that well-known brands and companies, because the one question that the customers might have in mind that does this company really exist, or is this like a legitimate player in the field? But also, if you think from the cybersecurity point of view, we hear about security breaches all the time, and all the companies are under attack. So we want to ensure that we do business with companies that keep your data safe, for example. So some ways how to create an image of a credible and secure website could be, for example, product reviews if you're a e-commerce player. So if you can see that there are a bunch of reviews and maybe there's a lot of text, so it seems that those are legitimate comments, that might be one signal, although I suppose those would be also quite easy to produce with AI. But however, it might give the customer a feeling that okay, I'm not the only customer of this company. The same applies for social media buttons, and especially then what ha like if you click one of those buttons, then you can sort of verify that there is ongoing discussion with the company and its customers. Again, I'm not the only customers. There are many more, and they seem to like the company at best. Business-to-business companies use a lot of so-called references. So reference clients or companies they are working with. So especially those B2B companies who have these well-known references, they might increase the credibility of your company. So credibility and security at the same time, you want to increase the credibility and security of the website, but also the company as a whole. Some other tactics, operating with well-known logistics partners, offering multiple payment methods so customers can choose how they want to purchase, free delivery, free returns, these types of things. Give the customers the confidence that, okay, I can buy because I have the option that I can return this back and doesn't cost me anything. So this could be one idea to increase the credibility. And then when it comes to the security issues, maybe these cybersecurity certificates and these types of things might give at least an idea for the customer that, okay, I think this seems legitimate. But of course, this goes well beyond the web design. So at least what I usually do when I'm not quite sure about a website or e-commerce store, then I start Googling about that, and I want to hear customer stories and these types of like even discussion boards. So usually, when it's a scam, you can note the pattern quite easily. Value in use is, of course, the fundamental thing that you want to deliver to your customers. So, how do you meet the different customer needs? And this is obviously very context specific issue. But here is a nice framework or typology to think about the value that your website offers for the customers. So, it could be time saved, quick response to a question, a problem solved, or task completed efficiently. So often customer comes to the website and wants to get something done. So here, for example, self-service features, chat service could be some of those things that save time. Perhaps also some sort of calculators, product comparison tools might save time in purchasing to figuring out what's the best solution and so on. Time well spent. So some other types of companies want to really engage customers with something more than the offering itself. So providing something that entertains customer, something that evokes emotions, something that the customers enjoy doing. So this could be one thing. So maybe it's a cool video, maybe it's a quiz, maybe it's a game, maybe it's something more. This needs a lot of creativity to think about what the customer's enjoying. But again, this doesn't really apply for all the companies. So if you are a bank, the customers probably don't want to be entertained by games or videos. They want to get things done. So it definitely goes closer to the time savings. Then the third option, time well invested. And this requires good content marketing. So you can provide new information for the customers, perhaps thought-provoking or educational content. So the customers might feel that when you go to the website and you've been there, you feel that, well, I actually learned something new. Now I'm better familiar with these products or with this team or whatever the issue is, that I actually learned something new. So that could be great value for a customer. And some of the things that are quite commonly used: ebooks, customer guides, white papers, case studies, blogs, some other anything that teaches customers something new. Aesthetics often discussed. There is not a lot of generalizable knowledge about what is a good-looking website or what's not. It's highly subjective. But generally, you could say that the importance of this whole element depends on the company heavily. Think about Wikipedia. I don't think that anyone thinks it's a cool looking website or it's aesthetically somehow appealing. It's not. But the idea is to provide information and they want to focus on that. But then if you think about a brand, say Ferrari, upscale brand in the car industry, it definitely needs to look cool. It needs to give the image of the cars that these are something amazing. But maybe for an average company, then again, I would say that aesthetics are important to sort of communicate a professional look and feel of the company. So even if it's not something super cool, it should look professional. It should look up to date. It should look like the website has been updated and it doesn't look like the one that was created in the 80s and it still looks the same. The other important issue regarding the aesthetics is the use of colors and contrasts. So here is a good illustration of I think nice contrast. You can really highlight things. If you have a dark background and the white text, then it really pops up, and you can think about the font size and these types of things. And these are the call to action buttons. So this is what the company usually wants you to press. So again, using contrast makes it easy for the customers to see this button and so on. It might be a good way to make sure that customers are encouraged to press the buttons that you want them to press. Purchasing process facilitation. This is the last element that I want to discuss. And this is at the end of the day, the very core of a good web design, especially if you have any commercial intent on your website. So if you really want to realize your website goals, focus especially on answering clearly these three questions. What are you offering? Why should I pick you? And what do you want me to do next? So this is a highly important topic because you need to understand that customers don't usually know what you are and what you do. And the mistake that many companies do is that they sort of assume that customers know them, and they might be very vague in explaining what they are offering, because the designers know very well what the company is and what it offers, and then it sort of ignores this quite basic thing that customers may not be very familiar with your brand. So, what is it that you're offering? That's the fundamental thing. The second, give the customers a reason. Answer the question of why us? And this goes back to the value proposition we have discussed. So, what is the core value that your offering delivers to the customers? And then, what do you want me to do next? Okay, if I got interested, then what happens next? What should I do? How do I get involved? How do I learn more? And so on. So here is one example, for example, just to analyze. So what are you offering? Let's see. Add the human touch to your recruitment. Turn job candidates into your greatest fans with Talentadors AI recruitment software. So you can pick up from this very short text that it's about AI recruitment software that this company is offering. Why should I pick you? Because you want to turn job candidates into your greatest fans and you want to add the human touch to your recruitment. So that's the key value proposition. And then what do you want me to do next? Well, you can request a demo so we can show how this works. Or if you're just, interested to learn more, you can download here AI in recruitment guide. So I think this is a good example of a very focused web design. So not much more. Probably if you scroll down, there is much more, but especially the home page, the very key where most customers usually start their navigation, make it clear that it's understandable for the new customers. And then next, we are going to talk about conversion optimization. Here is a definition of a conversion. So it is the desired and measurable action taken by a user that realizes the goal for the website. So specific action that realizes the website goal. Now, the conversion might mean different things for different companies. And with this slide, I try to, first of all, make you realize that websites have different objectives, and hence the conversion might also differ based on a different business or website type. And here are some categories. Let's start with the easiest one. So, e-commerce. Website objective is pretty clear. They want to sell stuff, selling products. Now, what is the conversion? So, if website objective is the general goal, they want to sell stuff. What is the measurable action that sort of realizes the website objective or goal? That is usually the purchase decision, order, or transaction that the customers make. That's when we know that we have realized the website goal in the case of this particular customer. Amazon, one website example of an e-commerce store, but there are obviously a lot of different e-commerce stores. So just some examples here on the slide. Next, B2B, so business to business companies. Now, some of them do e-commerce just like Amazon, but in many cases, it may not be so easy to sell directly, especially when you're selling something of high monetary value. So that usually requires the sales negotiations and so on. But what you can do is to generate sales leads. And those sales leads refer to identified customers that, or let's say, identified potential customers that have shown some interest toward your offering. So, what could be the conversions then? Well, perhaps they registered for the service or they complete a form. Let's say there could be a white paper, and then they complete a form to get access to the white paper. So they leave some information about themselves. Or maybe it's a contact request that I'm actually interested in buying. So I'm again filling out a form and making this contact request. So those could be certain types of sales leads, certain types of conversions. Salesforce could be one example here, but many different types of B2B companies. Actually, in the case of Salesforce, their key contribution is probably product trial. So Salesforce offers these, at least mainly these CRM system, customer relationship management software, and they offer this cloud-based access for demo accounts and free trials. So that would be their probably the key conversion for them. B2C physical retailers. So there are some retailers that do not sell anything online. So in those cases, usually the idea is to provide information and customer service. So how to find the stores, for example, or providing information about the products that they are selling or some related content on them. Customer service, whenever there is an issue, a website could be one place where you can contact the company. So this is one of the more difficult types to think about what the potential conversions could be, but perhaps, newsletter subscription. So you can inform customers about new promotions or things like that. Store locator, so you can help customers to find the nearest store. Perhaps app download that allows you to stay in touch with the customers. Hard to tell, depends on the context. And one website example, or actually many websites that, or let's say many B2C physical retailers represent grocery stores or some of these companies that I would say that predominantly sell via physical outlets. Of course, there are nowadays a lot of e-commerce in groceries as well, but some of them do not do that at all, and still the great majority of groceries are sold in physical stores. So hence they need to focus on this target group a little bit more. Then brands and suppliers. The website objective could be building brand engagement. Again, this might be a little bit vague what that means, but if a brand has a website, then there must be this coolness factor. There must be some interesting content related to the brand. Again, the conversion a little bit more difficult to define, but it could be related roughly to engagement events on the website, so video views, registration to online community, or then just, regular visits to the website, or how much they spend time on the website or something related to that. So I think Coca-Cola could be one good example of this type of category. As far as I know, they don't probably sell anything online, but they're just building the brand. Then again, a big part of brands or a big share of brands nowadays also have e-commerce stores, so they fall under the first category simultaneously. But whenever it's a brand, there is usually always the idea that you try to build brand associations and engagement with the potential and existing customers. Then media companies, what's their website objective? Well, they're usually news, some other type of content. So what are they driving at? They want to offer relevant content. This is their key goal because often the more time the customers spend on these types of websites, the more money they make because they can show you more ads. Some potential conversions, again, usually maybe the time spent on the website could be one, or regular visits, because these are all things that relate to a business. But of course, many media companies also offer subscriptions, so there are these paywalls, and then the conversion is very clear. And these media companies, I'm putting Google here as well, as and we could include Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all kinds of tools, and kind of the similar logic in these types of websites or applications is that you usually make money via advertising or subscriptions. And in the case of Google, it's the ad clicks how they make most of their money. So that could be their conversion. General idea of conversion optimization. So when we move into this, so we first now learned what is the conversion. It's the measurable action that realizes the website goal. So what is conversion optimization? It refers to actions that increase the percentage of website visits or sessions that result in a conversion. In other words, the idea is to increase the conversion rate. And in this blue box, you can see the formula for calculating conversion rate. So it is as simple as conversions divided by sessions. So if you get 500 visits to your website and your website produces 10 conversions, your conversion rate is 10 divided by 500, which is 0.02 or 2%. Now, the general idea of the conversion optimization is that you want to make the most of all the website visits that you get to your website. And this is an exemplary illustration of kind of like the analytics behind it. So in this particular example, a company has got 5,000 visitors, many of whom probably start from the home page. So now you can calculate then that out of these people, 5,000 who visit the home page, you can calculate how many people go to the product service page, contact page, and then make an inquiry. So this is probably a business-to-business company. So this could be the same as the sales lead. Now, you can calculate these different steps. So this is on the left-hand side, this is sort of the idea how the company thinks that what needs to happen before we can convert a potential customer into a sales lead. So they first need to go to homepage and then further down the funnel. And then you can look at these different steps. So here, for example, on the homepage, 2,000 people leave, the rest of them move on to the product service page. On the product service page, 1,750 people leave, the rest move on to the contact page. And on the contact page, 750 people leave, the rest move on to the inquiry page. And the inquiry page, 400 people leave, and then the remaining 100 become sales leads. So this is just an illustration, but sort of already explains what this conversion optimization is. So we need a lot of analytics behind to first of all monitor how people move down in the funnel. And then the actual conversion optimization work would be related to what should we do to get more people to visit product service page. How could we, for example, change the layout of our homepage so that people would be more interested in our product service page, and so on. So that's the job, and it's often practical to consider different steps that customers need to make before converting. So before the conversion can happen in e-commerce store, that would be the purchase. Here, it's a sales lead. Conversion optimization in practice. So there are three ways to improve the conversion rate, roughly speaking. The first is offsite optimization. So improving the quality of your website traffic. So this is about reaching and attracting visitors to the website who are more likely to convert. And this, of course, requires the strategy to think about who your target customers are. And then you need to understand how those customers use media and what they're interested in so that you can invest in those channels and tactics that reach and attract them to your website. So this is the stage one, which is not so much related to the web design. But the second step is, so this is the on-site optimization, improving the quality of the website, removing bottlenecks in website performance and persuading customers to conversions. So this is kind of like a similar figure to the one in the previous slide, but now it's in the e-commerce setting. So hopefully this further clarifies it. So you can see how many website visits you have. And again, here is the path that we can consider the steps that the customer need to take before completing a transaction. So they need to visit the shopping area, they need to add something to the shopping cart, they need to initiate the ordering, and they need to complete it. And now again, we could see the percentages with analytics. So web analytics such as Google Analytics could be used here. So how many website visits do we get? How many of those go to the shopping area? How many people add something to the shopping cart, and so on. So we could look at each step and then again think how, like, what could we change in our web design to encourage customers to go further? This might require some customer research, but also you can just, experiment and see what works the best. Finally, as a notion, improving overall customer experience then again has a big influence on these conversions. Delighted customers are likely to convert in the future and bring friends with them. So there are certain tactics that you can do to improve the conversion rate, but I would argue that ultimately it's a lot about the customer experience. So if the customer experience is great and the offering is great that you offer, then obviously that's the most important thing that affects your conversion rate. So typical conversion rates that we see, let's say in e-commerce store, are around about between 1 and 3%. So they are relatively low. Then again, I've read some stories that Amazon's conversion rate is over 10%. So again, you can see the difference between customer experiences. And of course, Amazon has such a loyal customer base that when they go to the website, they need to buy something and they just select the product. Regarding on-site optimization, let's take a customer-centric perspective to the topic. And I think that rather than using these sort of technical tricks, it's mainly about helping customers at every step of the purchasing process. So when visiting the website, customers are at different phases of their purchasing process. So what I would do if I was a manager, I would try to obviously do customer research, but then really develop the site by considering how you could help customers on their path to purchase. I don't believe that you can force customers to buy no matter what you do, but you can certainly help them to make good decisions and get inspired and so on. So here are just, some examples what you could think. So we've gone through this purchasing process model earlier on this course, so you know kind of what these steps are. But the need recognition, how do you help customers to recognize needs? You can help customers get inspired. You can use videos, visual appealing images, some other cool content. In the information search, you can help customers to find information, search bar, chat service, logical layout, having enough information on your product cards that meet the customer needs, and so on. Evaluation of alternatives. Help the customer to make a good choice. Apply product comparison tools. Offer product ratings, product information, pictures, videos, whatever it is that helps customers to really see that, okay, this is the best product for my needs. And one thing related to the product information, most companies focus on the technical specs, so technical details of the product, but customer is mainly interested in whether this product meets my need. So considering the content marketing and product information, you should always try to explain to what kind of use cases this particular product is the best fit. That is much more helpful from the customer perspective than telling, how many pixels there are in this camera or whatever. In the fourth stage, purchase decision, make buying easy and attractive. Convenient order process. Do not ask anything that is unnecessary regarding the customer data. Make it as simple as possible. Perhaps, if it's possible, if it makes business sense, free delivery and return. Multiple payment options for sure, multiple delivery options, these types of things can sort of remove some of the bottlenecks, make it easy and attractive. Customers can select how they want to buy it. And finally, help the customers to find new relevant products and encourage word of mouth. So, finding new relevant products, there could be some recommendations done by AI for what kind of products could fit the one that you have purchased. You can incentivize the newsletter download so you can inform customers in the future about new products or promotions or whatnot. Application download. So if you have a mobile app, definitely that would be a key part to get loyal customers. Some companies incentivize endorsements. So, for example, so that if you sort of acquire us a new customer, then this new customer will get 10% off, and you also get 10% off from your next purchase. So that might be effective in certain cases. Now, then more about the technical issues. On-site optimization also guide customers toward conversions via call to actions. And this might maybe feel like forcing customers to buy when you use all these types of call to actions. But then again, it's also about helping customers to know what to do next. So if they want to buy, make it clear like which link or button I need to press to get further in my purchasing process. Clicks to CTA buttons direct the customer close to a conversion. It also helps marketers to measure the effectiveness of the site. At which point do we lose our potential customers? So again, I already mentioned that when we talk about conversion optimization, you can think about the steps that customers need to take before they can purchase or convert in other means. So these call to action buttons can be also helpful in tracking those different stages and realizing where do we lose them, what should we do better on those particular pages. If you're interested in creating websites, so on this course, we are definitely not creating websites. But if you're interested in web design and really want to get your hands dirty, there are such great courses on the internet to learn how to build websites. And currently, the WordPress seems to be the highly dominant content management system. So, website platform, whatever you want to call it. So, learning how to do a WordPress website could be very helpful and might be a good advantage compared to other students if you know how to use it. There are many other simpler versions. So, WordPress requires at least a little bit of expertise, but then there are many others. So let's say if you are, especially if you're a small company, maybe you're an entrepreneur, you can also think about these more intuitive things like Wix, for example, is a very easy to use platform. You don't really need to be able to code anything. So it consists of modules and elements. So it's e very easy to play around with them. But yeah. If you're interested, I encourage you to take some of these extracurricular activities. Hoping that we met the learning goals. So after this lecture, I hope that you're now able to analyze the key elements of good web designs. We discussed about a lot of these features that are common to good websites. And then I hope that you now know what is a conversion in the context of digital marketing and what does it mean when we do conversion optimization. So what are the actions that we can do to increase the conversion rate? Have a great day.